I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright. This week, our topic has been compassion, and on the weekend edition of Stress Mastery Podcast, host Mark Mittelstead kicked it off with true compassion is also unconditional. On Monday with the super millennial, David, who has been out ill, did a throwback called Mastering Stress in the Workplace. Our health huddles, we did part two of our January series, Optimal Health and Well-Being, on developing compassion for the body. In Meeting of the Minds, we talked on respect. Respect yourself and the process of the sense of finishing. Yesterday's Connection Thursday, we talked about the shift and the challenge of transition. And today we will continue our book study, The Book of Joy by the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. So we are now into the pillars of joy in the book, and we are in pillar number four. This will be the last pillar of the mind, and then they're going to go into the heart. But it's interesting how everything seems to fall in place with what we're doing here at Stress Mastery. This particular section is called Acceptance, the only place where change can begin. Our topic next week is the power of acceptance. Understand, we set these topics weeks ahead, and this just happens to be this chapter will lead us into next week. When we had visited the Tibetan Children's Village in January, we noticed a wall displaying a quote with the Dalai Lama referenced in the dialogues. It was a translation of Shantideva's famous question that His Holiness had mentioned, only in a slightly different translation. Why be unhappy about something if it can be remedied? And what is the use of being unhappy if it cannot be remedied? In this short teaching is a profound essence of the Dalai Lama's approach to life. It was at the root of his stunning ability to accept the reality of exile without, as the Archbishop put it, being morose. Once we can see life in a wider perspective, once we are able to see our role in its drama with some degree of humility, and once we are able to laugh at ourselves, we then come to the fourth and final quality of mind, which is the ability to accept our life in all its pain, imperfection, and beauty. Acceptance, it must be pointed out, it is the opposite of resignation and defeat. The Archbishop and the Dalai Lama are two of the most tireless activists for creating a better world for all of its inhabitants. But their activism comes from a deep acceptance of what is. We are meant to live in joy, the Archbishop explained. This does not mean that life will be easy or painless. It means that we can turn our faces to the wind and accept that this is the storm we must pass through. We cannot succeed by denying what exists. The acceptance of reality is the only place from which change can begin. The Archbishop had said that when one grows in spiritual life, you are able to accept anything that happens to you. You accept the inevitable frustrations and hardships as part of the warp and woof of life. The question he had said is not, how do we escape it? The question is, how can we use this as something positive? The Archbishop's prayer practice involves reading quotations from the scriptures as well as quotes from the saints and the spiritual masters throughout history. One of his favorites is the Christian mystic Julian of Norwich, whose revelations of divine love, penned shortly after she recovered from a life-threatening illness in 1373, is believed to be the first book written by a woman in the English language. In it, she writes, "Deeds are done which appear so evil to us, and people suffer such terrible evils that it does not seem as though any good will ever come of them. And we consider this sorrowing and grieving over it, that we cannot find peace in the blessed contemplation of God as we should do. And this is why our reasoning powers are so blind now, so humble and so simple. And we cannot know the high, marvelous wisdom, the might and the goodness of the Holy Trinity. And this is what he means where he says, you shall see for yourself that all manner of things shall be well. As if he said, pay attention to this now, faithfully, confidently, and at the end of time, you will truly see it in the fullness of joy. Acceptance, whether we believe in God or not, allows us to move into the fullness of joy. It allows us to engage with life on its own terms, rather than rail against the fact that life is not as we wish it would be. It allows us to not struggle against the day-to-day current. The Dalai Lama had told us that stress and anxiety comes from our expectations of how life should be. When we are able to accept that life is how it is, not as we think it should be, we are able to ease the ride, to go from the bumpy axle of the dukkha with all its suffering, stress, anxiety, dissatisfaction, to the smooth axle of the sukha with its greater ease, comfort, and happiness. So many of the causes of suffering comes from our reacting to the people, places, things, and circumstances in our lives rather than accepting them. When we react, we stay locked in judgment and criticism, anxiety and despair, even denial and addiction. Much of traditional Buddhist practice is directed toward the ability to see life accurately, beyond all expectations, projections, and distortions that we typically bring to it. Meditative practices allow us to quiet the distracting thoughts and feelings so that we can perceive reality and respond to it more skillfully. The ability to be present in each moment is nothing more and nothing less than the ability to accept the vulnerability, discomfort, and anxiety of everyday life. With a deeper understanding of reality, the Dalai Lama has explained, you can go beyond appearances and relate to the world in a much more appropriate, effective, and realistic manner. I often give the example of how we should relate to our neighbors. Imagine that you're living next to a difficult neighbor. You can judge and criticize them. You can live in anxiety and despair that you will never have a good relationship with them. You could deny the problem or pretend that you do not have a difficult relationship with your neighbor. None of these are very helpful. Instead, you can accept that your relationship with your neighbor is difficult and that you would like to improve it. You may or may not succeed, but all you can do is try. You cannot control your neighbor, but you do have some control over your thoughts and feelings. Instead of anger, instead of hatred, instead of fear, you can cultivate compassion for them. You can cultivate kindness toward them. You can cultivate warm-heartedness toward them. We come back to the beginning of our discussion and Shantideva's question, the kind of acceptance that the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop were advocating is not passive. It is powerful. It does not deny the importance of taking life seriously, working hard to change what needs changing, to redeem what needs redemption. You must not hate those who do harmful things, the Dalai Lama has explained. The compassionate thing is to do what you can to stop them, for they are harming themselves as well as those who suffer from their actions. One of the key paradoxes in Buddhism is that we need goals to be inspired, to grow, and to develop, even to become enlightened. But at the same time, we must not get overly fixated or attached to these aspirations. If the goal is noble, your commitment to the goal should not be contingent on your ability to attain it. And in pursuit of our goal, we must release our rigid assumptions about how we must achieve it. Peace and equanimity, come from letting go of our attachment to the goal and the method. That is the essence of acceptance. Reflecting on this seeming paradox of pursuing a goal yet with no attachment to its outcome, Hinpa explained to me that there is an important insight. This is a deep recognition that while each of us should do everything we can to realize the goal we seek, whether or not we succeed often depends on many factors beyond our control. So our responsibility is to pursue the goal with all the dedication we can muster. Do the best we can, but not become fixated or a preconceived notion of a result. Sometimes, actually quite often, our efforts lead us to unexpected outcome that might even be better than what we originally had in mind. I thought of the Archbishop's comment that it takes to build our spiritual capacity. It's like a muscle that have to be exercised in order for them to be strengthened. Sometimes we get too angry with ourselves, thinking that we ought to be perfect from the word go. But this being on earth is a time for us to learn to be good, to learn to be more loving, to learn to be more compassionate. And you learn, not theoretically, you learn when something happens that tests you. Life is constantly unpredictable, uncontrollable, and often quite challenging. Acceptance was the final pillar of the mind, and it led us to the first pillar of the heart, which is forgiveness. When we accept the present, we can forgive and release the desire for a different past. So that ends this section, and it's pretty deep. And it, like I said, this will play into next week's topic. I'm very curious on what Mark will bring. I'm very curious what David will bring. And when they look at the power of acceptance, what it means to a spiritual teacher, what it means to a millennial. Because for me, this, I will touch this next week when we talk about the mountain and the muck and moving out of the valley. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to pull a couple things out of this particular chapter. One thing they said is, once we can see life in its wider perspective, once we are able to see our role in its drama with some degree of humility, and once we are able to laugh at ourselves, then we come to the fourth and final quality of mind, the ability to accept our life in all its pain, imperfection, and beauty. So this is what I talked about in the transition of the shift in yesterday's episode. We are moving out of the valley. The valley is the identity, the belief systems that you've carried throughout your life. Remember, they were programmed for you, not by you. But when you start to climb out of the valley and you start to climb up the mountain, you can look, turn around and see behind you. All the aspects that you thought were true are absolutely not. And you can also have compassion for those that are still trapped in the valley. That's what they're saying here. That's what it means. That is acceptance. You can look at it and accept. Now, another thing that was put in here, it says, acceptance, whether we believe in God or not, allows us to move into the fullness of joy. It allows us to engage with life on its own terms rather than rail against it. And the fact that life is not as we would wish, it allows us to not struggle against the day-to-day current. This is stress mastery. That is the skill of conflict resolution. As human beings, we cannot stop conflict. As human beings, we cannot stop stress. We're going to get activated. The idea of acceptance and what the teachers are teaching in this aspect, in this particular paragraph, is when you can have conflict resolution and you can respond, you then go through your day-to-day current and you have peace. And so it continued there. The Dalai Lama had told us, stress and anxiety come from our expectations of how life should be. Well, as human beings, the programming you carry in mind is what sets your expectations. It sets your perception. And understand, We cannot experience anything but what we hold in mind. So you can have activation in something that causes you to get frustrated because you have an expectation. But the moment you see that, the moment you allow that, the moment you go into acceptance, you now move out of that expectation and you can find peace. So there's another thing here that I think is really important. And I think this is one of the more important sections that I saw, because it's January and many people are about now, as I record this is January 14th, are now struggling with their goals. I know how the human being works. Some of you might have started, some of you still haven't started, some of you are stuck, some of you are confused, some of you are in chaos. It's normal. It's that first 30-day testing period. Well, what we teach you in the higher goal-setting process are what are called identity-based goals. This is when you live in intention, not in the outcome goal process that is taught. And this is exactly what the Dalai Lama is saying. One of the key paradoxes of Buddhism is that we need goals to inspire, to grow, and to develop, even to become enlightened. But at the same time, we must not get overly fixated or attached to these aspirations. If the goal is noble, your commitment to the goal should not be contingent to your ability to attain it. And in the pursuit of our goal, we must release those rigid assumptions about how we must achieve it. Peace and equanimity come from letting go of our attachment to the goal and the method of attaining the goal. So that is identity base. There are three processes of setting goals. The first process is the wants. You got to get those out. Want creates lack. Lack creates a vibration, and that's what mirrors into your life. You got to get into desire. Desire is a spark in your heart. You might not even quite sure what that is, but there's a spark and you have desire. And once you go into that and you get that clarity, this is what I want, you have to go to the third part and set the intention. You have to work your day-to-day processes as if the goal is attained. That is enjoying the process, not being connected to the outcome. And that's what they're talking about in here. That is what brings you peace and equanimity. It's from letting go of the attachment of the goal and its methods. This is the essence of acceptance. So that ends this chapter. I'm excited for next week. And next week, we'll be talking on the power of acceptance. And I want to thank everybody for their patience with me doing solo episodes this week. I don't know if David will be back next week or not. I think he will be. It's always a lot more fun to do these episodes with some banter, some feedback, and a conversation. But I hope that it worked for you this week. And if you have comments and you have questions, please contact me, Bill@LivingRight with Bill Courtright. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in a planet. You can join us on this mission by simply just like, share, and subscribe. By the way, you guys are sharing the podcast. We can see it. We have a huge spike in listener in the United States. It's kind of nice to see that in the United States because we see it all over the world. And sometimes we fall short in the United States. Not now. Now we're really ranking. So thank you very much. You have no idea how much I appreciate all that you guys are doing for us. As always, until next time, stay inspired.